Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Dual Screens Gamescast. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, he's bringing the awesome sauce, and he just got himself a tall glass of water, because it is going to be a hell of a show. He is Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
I feel like a jock today.
Jock?
Yeah.
Like one of them sports guys?
Yeah. I played some sports games this weekend, Stephen.
You played a sports game. Me too. I did too, actually.
Well, I played Blades of Steel. That's what I did.
Blades of Steel.
Mm-hmm. With the old sibling, with the older brother, and that was a lot of fun. No, I lost, but still, I played. That's all that matters.
Okay, yeah, you did. You got in there.
I indulged for 20 minutes.
I'm happy. I'm happy you indulged, and I'm happy for you, listeners, for indulging us by lending us your ears on this, the Dual Screens Gamescast. This is a show where Andy and I, we cherry pick some news, and we go over it, and we talk about it, and then we yell at each other and at you about the news. And it posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including our home, podbean.com, and of course, iHeartRadio and Spotify, eventually, if those feeds ever actually update, because it's been quite annoying lately. But if you can find us on third-party apps pretty damn easily, so, and Podbean is the number one, so go there. And of course, we record this live on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams every Sunday night, sometimes Monday if we can't make Sunday work, but we're here on Sunday night live, so we do like to answer questions and comments from the chat. So if you hear us talking to people, that is who that is. Before we get into the show, let's tell you about our other shows, because we had a great show on Thursday, and we have an even better show coming up this Thursday. And of course, we're talking about the Dual Screens podcast. That is the interview show where we bring on industry guests to talk about their video game, their project. I mean, it could be anybody. It could be anybody, programmer, artist. And as next week's guest is concerned, a voice actor.
Just
a voice actor. He is an actor. But, man, Andy, this is one hell of a show.
Yeah, that was like hardcore business.
Yes. Yes. And, folks, you can listen to that episode right now if you support us on patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producers, FNH Paul and Colton the Apprentice Nestler. Now, you do have to support us at the $5 tier to get that, but the shows go up as soon as we record them, and we recorded this one last Thursday. So it's up, and it was a fantastic show, and it was with Tommy Earl Jenkins, who plays Die Hardman in Death Stranding, and it was a fantastic episode. We learned so much about Kojima, about the process. It was just a fantastic, fantastic episode. So yeah, make sure you get in there and do that. All right, Andy. Let's get into the show because it is time.
Oh yeah!
Everybody's favorite future T-shirt.
Here we go, baby.
The adventures in gaming. Andy, what you been playing?
Bloodstained: Curse of the Moon 2. That some bitch is hard. Really hard.
Now, I don't remember the first one being
difficult. It wasn't at all.
Okay.
And I'm just like, why am I struggling so much with this game? So it's as a whole new cast of characters. It has, you know, the Zangetsu, the sword-wielding guy from the first one. But his companions are all new. Three new companions, and they're all awesome. It is like legit Castlevania 3 gameplay all over again. This is why I love how these games, their structure and their format. Amazing sprite work. Soundtrack is okay. It's not vibing with me just yet.
Okay.
Nothing is like, yeah, that's an awesome tune just yet in the game. I'm like 6 levels deep. But it's tough.
That's
some poor enemy placement. It feels kind of cheap at times. Like, you could have moved that guy like 5 pixels to the left. I would have been much happier.
5 pixels. So we're talking about just a 5 pixel difference.
Just give me something to work with.
I got you. I understand. Anything else you've been
Well, that and Blades of Steel. So my brother came by and we played that for like an hour, and then he was trying to beat the game on professional exhibition mode. I think it's 3 matches to the Stanley Cup Finals, and he got as far as the second round. And
it's a tough game.
He got shellacked.
It's a tough game because almost everything they shoot goes in for some reason.
Right. And also he opened with scoring on himself.
That'll happen.
Was a lot of fun. I was like, did you just pass it backwards into the goalie and then you gave them a point. And he's like, eh, I'll be fine. I'll be okay. And then he lost by a point, which is the one, which was the worst.
I tried NBA 2K20, you know, since it's free. I'm terrible at it.
We both did some sports. Yeah.
I'm real bad at it.
Yeah, no.
Like, really not good. So, I'm thoroughly impressed with how that looks. And, like, the pregame, they do, like, news stuff. Like, they have this, the NBA sports desk. You got Shaq there doing, like, interview stuff. Like, it's really cool. Like, they did a fantastic job on it. But, yeah, I'm awful at it. What else? So I got bit by the Call of Duty Warzone bug.
How's that going for you?
It's going.
Is
it
good?
It's so it finally clicked, and it took like a month of me watching other people stream it to realize what they liked so much about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I have a consistent squad, of course, led by my second in command, Mikey Kirsch.
Sure, sure.
And a rotating squadron of people who check out the stream at twitch.tv/badchild. I'm having a blast with it, but it's not going to replace Apex. It's a like when you're choosing between pizza and Chinese, you know?
That's yeah, they're like. Both great cuisines.
Yeah, like I'm going to be like, oh, are we doing pizza tonight? Or are we doing Chinese tonight? And we're like, oh, like, I could go for a little Chinese. I could go for some
you're not mad.
Chicken and broccoli.
You're not mad.
No, yeah. I'm not mad. Yeah. I'm not mad. Chicken and broccoli.
Yeah, sure.
You know?
That's also my go-to dish, by the way. Chicken broccoli.
I do. Yeah, I do the
that
chicken
or
broccoli,
the
I do chicken fried rice.
Sweet and sour.
I like sweet and sour too. Yeah, mm-hmm. I like sweet and sour. But yeah, I usually go chicken and broccoli, a little chicken fried rice. I mix them together a little bit. You know, I like to smother my rice in soy sauce.
That's a fast way to die.
Yeah. Well, you know, you gotta
do it. Did you ever get French fries from a Chinese food takeout place? They're actually quite decent. Not bad.
Yeah. I know. But you know what else isn't bad?
This podcast and the news brother talk about?
No.
What?
What isn't bad is that I finally got a win after a several stream drought in Apex Legends. And here is our Apex minute. That's right, folks. If you don't know, on twitch.tv/badchild, every time we win a battle royale, we give away a free game in the chat. It's very simple. You just go in there, you press exclamation point raffle, we win a game, boom, I give you a game. And we finally, after maybe like a 4 or 5 stream drought, finally won a match of Apex Legends. And it was convincing. We went in there, we took care of fucking business. Let me tell you. We went in there, we just started tapping dudes' brains. It was great. Rumors going about, Andy, that Rampart might be the next character. And it seems like Rampart is all about the boom, boom, you know, all about the heavy hitting, which would be a nice change of pace because the last real heavy hitter that we got as far as an assault character was kind of Octane, which is really more about speed. So it's going to be nice to have somebody new to play with in season 6. But we're still right smack in the middle of season 5. I think we still have like 5 weeks left of season 5 or something like that. So but we're doing it. But we're doing it. You know what I mean, guys? We're getting in there. And that was a minute of Apex Legends. All right, Andy.
Oh, it's over? Thank you, Jesus Christ.
Yes, it's over.
So the indie news update for the week.
Yes, sir. Get
this,
us in there.
This reads like future guests and former guests, all their games announced.
It's a who's who of Dual Screens podcast.
So future guest of the show, Panzer Paladin's coming out really soon, July 21st.
So excited for that.
Yeah, I thought that was at least next year, it seemed like, at some points. Former guest of the show, Carry On, is coming on 7/23. So
yeah.
And that's also on Game Pass, so hell yeah. And recent former guest of the show, Fall Guys, is coming out August 4th. That game is going to be
Did you see
the game.
That it's in top 10 of sales?
Yeah.
Pre-orders?
You talking about Carry On?
No, Fall Guys.
Dude, Carry On was on the top 10 list too on Steam.
On Steam. Fall Guys was like, if you're looking at the front page, it was the bottom one before you had to scroll, so it was probably like maybe number 6.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm so happy for them.
Yeah.
I think, what are they charging for that? $30, I think?
I believe I know. Yeah.
$20?
It's worth every cent, as far as I'm concerned.
I'm very excited. I'm very, very excited for that game.
We're going to be all up inside that game. You have no idea.
All in it, you guys. We're going to be all in it.
Dude, I can't wait to play this game with you. I'm so excited.
I really hope everybody gets it. I know it's expensive, but mm-hmm. like, I really hope.
Have to do some giveaways of this game, like at least 3 or 4 copies.
That's a lot of copies. That's a lot of money.
Well, you know what? Yeah. We're all about giving back to the community and the folks.
Buzz Killington says Ooblets came out this week as well.
Sure.
Thanks, Buzz. Thanks for that information.
It's going to add that to my list.
Yeah, put that on the list. All right. Ladies and germs. It's out this week. Sorry. Sure. Not that it's coming out this week.
All right.
Or
so
it's not that.
I'm just going to adjust my ass in this chair a little bit. Whatever. Doesn't matter. A lot of stuff happened today alone.
A lot of things.
Let alone
happened.
the last week.
Let's kick it off with one of the bigger things. The Ubisoft had its first Ubisoft Forward digital showcase event. So we got to look at a couple of really cool things here. Of course, we had to have Just Dance Season 3.
I mean, you got to have it at Ubisoft.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to.
Not for me. We also have a 80s update to The Crew 2,
mm-hmm.
which is coming as well. Trials Rising. Is getting a new track, a long, huge track, I guess. It's going to be free for everybody. Ghost Recon Breakpoint is getting a free title update on July 15th. It adds AI teammates to the game for the first time, which you need because nobody's playing the game. Brawlhalla is coming to iOS and Android devices, which is pretty cool. They showed more of Hyperscape. We have more of kind of what that universe is, and it's essentially Ready Player One.
Right.
Dystopian. There's 10 billion people in the world, and the world is pretty unlivable on the outside.
Here's a VR thing to play in and have fun.
So, yeah. They send
you forget about the world of your life.
But there's some nefarious things happening in this virtual world,
but of course,
unfortunately.
There's always nefarity.
There are people that may or may not be messing with the code, as it were.
Oh, boy.
And people are mysteriously disappearing in real life who are playing the game. So that's effed. We also got Assassin's Creed Valhalla. We got a deep dive into that, mm-hmm. and we actually got to see gameplay, which I know we've seen before, but this was much deeper. It's also confirmed that it's going to have a November 17th release date.
Yes, sir.
The cool thing about Assassin's Creed at this point, like really from Origins, mm-hmm. was where it really started. Maybe before that, but I want to say Origins is when it really clicked for people. It might maybe Unity, but I want to say it was Origins, where it seems like they have officially gone full RPG with it. It's now just a full action RPG.
That's Origins. And for me, the biggest takeaway here was I loved all the things that weren't Assassin's Creed, like the whole base building and the fishing.
Right. All the new
stuff. The fun new stuff that isn't just the core janky looking combat that is Assassin's Creed that we know and love at this point.
Right.
The extra stuff was what made it for me. Now, it didn't look all that impressive to me, to be honest, like visually.
It looked fine. It looked fun.
It looked fine. That's what I want to say. It just looked fine.
To me, it's like, I feel like The Witcher 3 had a big influence on what Assassin's Creed is doing.
Or games like it, at least, for sure.
Yeah. Just like, they're massive. Like, I'm still watching Patreon producer FNH Paul play Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got to be playing that for well over a month at this point. Mm-hmm. And he does, like, 6-hour streams.
Mm-hmm.
I think he plays it twice a week. So he's put in quite a bit of time.
Yeah,
the
game is pretty deep.
Yeah. But the issue is that, so what wound up happening with Assassin's Creed is like all of Ubisoft's games started to do the same thing with the open world.
Mm-hmm.
Go to this mark, do this quest, rinse and repeat, get this item, bring it here, do, you know, whatever. Unlock tower, you know, unlock more of the map, rinse and repeat.
Oh, hey, Division.
Yeah, right. It's basically, it's all the same.
Just a grind, basically.
But what I like that, at least what Odyssey did, the character progression is there now. Like, you're actually doing this shit for a reason and not just to unlock the map. Right. You're doing it because you want to level up. You want to explore the skill trees. You want to explore weaponry, which is another, which is a big thing about Valhalla, is that you could equip any two weapons, including like two shields, and just beat the shit out of people with shields. Like, it looks brutal. I don't really know how they're going to handle the whole rape and pillaging thing that the Vikings were known for.
And that's got to be a DLC at some point.
Right.
I would hope.
They've used the word pillage.
Right.
So that's the main mechanic.
You're leaving out
here.
The other key aspect of the pillaging. Is
right. Yeah. One very key aspect. Where did the women come from? Key hint.
Right.
They stole them. But it looks like a game that I would get completely wrapped up in, but I'm burnt by Assassin's Creed, so I'm gonna like not play it anymore.
Right. I mean, this it kind of goes back to, do we need like these 60-hour games in our lives? And it's like, it seems like that's the driving focus on a lot of these big budget AAA games. It's promising, like, here's an 80-hour game, like, can I just play the thing? You know, without having my entire life being devoted to playing. I mean, FNH Paul is still playing this game 6 hours a day. How many weeks in, you were saying?
It's at least 4 weeks at this point.
Jesus Christ.
But it's got so much to do. Like, it honestly reminds me of like the design philosophy around The Witcher. Mm-hmm. And then we also got what simultaneously gave me an incredible amount of hype.
Oh, no, don't do
and
it.
And then it came crashing down, and that was don't Watch do Dogs Legion.
Oh, I thought you were going to mention Sam Fisher in that fucking Tom Clancy game, that mobile game that they mentioned.
No.
I was like, that's...
They did. Well, yes, I guess we could touch on that.
Sure.
There was that other Tom Clancy game. Well, what was it called? It was... it's not in this story. They kind of glossed over it, but it was a mobile game, kind of looked like a Team Fortress 2 type team shooter.
That took me back to Conquering, what was it, Spark Life? That game for Xbox. Mm, and it was like, Project Spark, what the fuck it was
Project
called?
Spark.
Yeah, you can make your own Conquer game. It's like, fuck you. don't show me Sam Fisher, then don't give me a Splinter Cell game, you asshole.
Jerk asses. yeah, so Watch Dogs Legion looks incredible. The world is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
They tout that, you know, any citizen on the street can be part of your team. All the missions can be done completely different ways. Everyone becomes a main player in the story.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then you, right? So I guess there was a preview embargo that lifted as soon as this thing was up. And all of the websites came out and saying, yeah, you could recruit anybody, but most people are useless. Most people have penalties.
Well, yeah, what do we expect?
And the game almost forces you to pick specific people, and like all construction workers have the same perks, the same weapons. They just have different like VO voice actors.
Yeah, use that nail gun, baby. That's what what you're good for.
So they're more like archetypes, and there are many different voices and body types to those archetypes. But and that makes much more sense. But the game still looks really cool to play. But that kind of crashed my hype for it a little bit, because I was looking forward to a generation defining mechanic,
right? Like seeing how they could push this, you could play as anyone mechanic,
right?
Like how intricate and deep is this? And then it's just it's very surface level at best.
Because what would be a really cool thing is like, If your roster could be unlimited anyway, like, what if, you just get, like, some babysitter who has, like, shitty skills.
Sure.
But what if that babysitter becomes part of your team, like, maybe text messages you intel or whatever because they're gossipers, but also because they're part of your team, they're learning from other people, and maybe you can make hodgepodge classes. Like, this babysitter is now, you know, learned how to use a nail gun, but also knows how to use a drone. And, like, you could, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Almost like breeding
right, but
the classes. Like, it would be cool if you could do that, where, you know, instead of just being
what you're going to have is, like, oh, here's the five best characters to pick from the whole millions, quote-unquote, and that's going to be just that for the whole game.
It reminds me a little bit of Fire Emblem.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, there's a million characters you can quote unquote recruit, whatever.
Is it
Fire Emblem? Is that the one I'm looking of where it's permadeath, but you could just keep recruiting?
Well, I was thinking of Phantom Pain. Metal Gear Solid 5, you could recruit
folks
to your base. And it's like everyone is basically shit, except for a few good ones that you always deploy for your reconnaissance missions.
Right. Right.
And that this feels like that. Like, yes, you have freedom and options, but if they're not that deep and most of them suck, then what was the point of it all, really?
Yeah.
Aside from a PR marketing talking point. That's what it feels like, to be honest.
Yeah. Hopefully that there are enough classes and at least the characters are funny enough, or different enough in the dialogue they speak,
mm-hmm.
based on like who you pick, that it's at least interesting.
Right. Like, make it worthwhile for me to actually look and recruit for other people.
Right.
Not just, it's just that overweight guy that has
value to me. Drones.
Right.
Get
that
chick because get that punk because I need somebody that's going to,
right,
whatever. Or I need the spy with the cool car. Like, how many spies have cool cars in this fucking city?
Also, one more note, they should have showed the short film after the gameplay because that film looked really cool.
I agree.
And it made the game look like ass.
I don't know if I agree with that.
No, listen. I agree. I'm like, the visuals, like, oh, that looked like more fun than what you just showed me.
Yeah, that film was really cool.
Yeah.
So that's coming October 29th. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Interesting.
And we're getting also another Ubisoft Forward. They're not done yet.
Yes. They said they're going to follow this up with another one soon. So.
Dude, E3 is dead. E3 is that mother effer is dead. Ain't come back.
What's the point?
Ain't come back no more.
We finished off the show with Far Cry 6.
Oh, yes.
Which Giancarlo Esposito is starring in it. It is what, like, I'm not big. I've never played a Far Cry. But I know that this is, I think, Far Cry 3's villain as a kid.
That's what everyone seems to believe.
Is that what it is?
A little scar on his eyebrow seems to indicate that. The internet sleuths have determined that. So
is that what I think? I don't know. With the scar, I don't know if I'm right.
That's what most folks seem to believe.
He called him something. He did say the kid's name, but I
think he just called him Mijo. That's all I heard him call him in the trailer.
Oh, I don't know. Diego, that's what they call him. His name was Diego, I think.
Okay.
I think that is right, Buzz Killington. Thank you for bringing that up. And Voss is the one that everybody thinks he is. I still think it's possible.
It's all a big fake out.
But either way, that fucking trailer
was
awesome.
So was that,
dude,
was that in-game or footage, or was that just a CG trailer? I didn't catch that.
I don't know.
Listen,
I don't know.
The facial capture is phenomenal. But again,
it looked gorgeous.
This is taking me back to Dead Island, Killzone 2. Mm. Looks great, but was I watching in-game, in-engine footage, or just a trailer, a CG trailer for promotional use?
They just call it a reveal trailer, so I don't
know. Yeah, that seems like it's just CG to me. Far Cry is not like on the cutting edge of graphics, I feel. They don't push for that stuff. Never have.
No,
so that's what it looks like. I'll be impressed craziness. For sure, but yeah. But that was very likely just a fancy schmancy CG trailer just for unveiling sake. Which, when you watch it 2 days prior when it was leaked, you know, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do, you know? All right, Andy, hit us up with your first news story.
So this was an interesting bit of news. Phil Spencer said a lot of words. Whole lot of words to GameIndustry.biz recently. And
a lot of information here.
He talked about them acquiring more studios in the future, and but the main thing he hit on was the Xbox Series X and if it's being held back by the Xbox One. So here's a few choice quotes I want to go through really quickly, and we'll just discuss, you and I. How does that sound, Steven?
Sounds
good to you?
Perfect.
Okay.
Sounds perfect.
Here's what Phil says. Frankly, held back is a meme that gets created by people who are too caught up in device competition. So off the bat, it seems like we're dismissing critical thinking, and it's just fanboys saying, not a real concern. Okay, let's go deeper. Yes, every developer is going to find a line and say that this is the hardware that I am going to support, but the diversity of hardware choice in PC has not held back the highest fidelity PC games on the market. The highest fidelity PC games rival anything that anybody has ever seen in video games. Have you seen Last of Us Part 2? Have you seen God of War? Those don't rival that. But moving on. So this idea that developers don't know how to develop games or build games or game engines or ecosystems that work across a set of hardware, there's a proof point in PC that shows that's not the case. So he's saying, because we have different hardware specs for PCs, that games can scale differently between different PC builds. That is the proof that the Xbox Series X will not be held back by the Xbox One, because their model is that for the first at least 2 years, all their games are going to be cross-generational. Okay?
Right.
So before I ask you for your opinion on what all this means, I'm going to quote George Carlin. There was a great bit he did a long time ago about spotting bullshit when people speak. And this is one of those moments when I feel like Phil Spencer is talking out of his ass. It's you listen and it's like, well, he seems fairly intelligent. Oh, he's full of shit. Now, I'm going to debunk what Phil just said very easily. Now, I'm going to use two key examples of two games that are coming out for the Series X. Okay?
Okay.
Ready for this?
Yes, please. Okay. Yes, I'm ready.
So Phil is saying, if I can get this correctly, that the Series X will not be held back by the Xbox One X. That just like how PCs have different builds, we'll have the highest level of the Series X, but the floor is going to be the One X. That's what it sounds like to me. Like, it won't go past that point. But they won't be holding back the games per se. Okay. Ebb Software, developer of Scorn, and that was that funky looking H.R. Geiger game that they showed at the Microsoft gameplay reveal, air quotes. Had this to say about making the game for the Series X. Oh, and it's only for the Series X, by the way. We don't want to make any compromises, and Series X certainly enables us to do just that. But wait, there's more. Blooper Team, developer of The Medium, had this to say about the Series X and the game. No, it's a Series X exclusive. The gameplay mechanics we're creating for The Medium can be fully realized only on next-gen hardware. The game simply could not work the same way on current-gen platforms. So to me, that says, if Microsoft said to both these developers, hey, can you make this game for the Series X and the Xbox One? You could say yes, but they would be compromised. They would be, dare I say it, held back. And that's what he's not getting. Now your thoughts.
Have you ever put in a PC game and it says, sorry, your PC can't handle this game?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
I have done that before.
Exactly. Sorry, you need to upgrade your shit. Yeah, that's exactly why.
Yeah.
Because you can't include everybody. Like, yes, you could include a majority of people for the most part, but no, that's not how PC gaming works, Phil, and we're not fucking stupid. So don't try and spoon feed us bullshit.
If you're talking about scalability in games, I'm all for it. Like, listen, games aren't held back by the Switch.
You know what he could have said? Honestly, what he could have said is the games you're going to see on next-gen consoles in the beginning of its life cycle are not going to be innovating enough for us to warrant them not being able to run on previous-gen hardware. it makes more sense for the developer to make as much cash as possible up front by selling it on multiple platforms, including one with a much larger install base, than it would be for them to go all in on a next-gen hardware where they're really not going to be able to unlock the full potential of that hardware to make exclusive titles for that hardware. That's what they should have said.
Right.
And then you'd just been like, oh, yeah, I guess that makes sense since they don't have enough time to really make something that's only going to work on that next-gen hardware. Sure, make it work on the previous gen so you have an install base of 50 million people, you know, plus your PC players, whatever. Mm-hmm. Great idea. Yeah, that's a great idea. But that's just not the case mm-hmm. for higher-end stuff. Like, once we get into year three, calendar... let's say, once we get into games that have been in development this calendar year, 2020, mm-hmm. you figure that's 2023, 2024, the earliest. Mm-hmm. That's probably going to be your first wave of games that truly need to only be on next gen, mm-hmm. if that is a studio that is working also on current gen gaming, like a 2K. Or an EA, like sports games, annualized games. They're not going to abandon the previous gen until probably 3 or 4 years from now. So in that respect, and those are and the people who play those games are most gamers, I would think, like your casual gamers, like that big Venn diagram of 18 to 45, like they're playing Madden, NBA, Call of Duty, you know, Assassin's Creed, like they're playing those games. Those games are he's right, they're less likely to do something mechanically that can't be done on previous gen hardware because they're not going to want to take that risk. But a first party title, a first party game, a, you know, Sony Santa Monica game or whatever, you have this hardware much longer and you are incentivized by the platform holder to put the work in to make something that is unique and can only run on that mm-hmm, hardware mm-hmm. because of the hardware.
Right.
So no, the reason why he's doing that is because he knows that it's not going to, you know, you don't want to cut off 50 million people that are in your ecosystem and you.
Well, wait a second. Do you think
still have a $500 machine out of right. the market?
But do you believe Sony is abandoning 112 plus million users with the PS5 with PSF only games? Is that what you feel?
Well, PlayStation's done it before. Like,
and so does Nintendo. This is how gaming
right,
works.
What I'm saying is like what PlayStation usually does is they have their swan songs, which we're getting now. Mm-hmm. We have one left, I think. You get your swan songs, and then you get your games that are only for PS5 mm-hmm. that are gonna come out that are mm-hmm. taking advantage of the hardware right off the bat. Maybe not 100% of it because that's never the case, obviously. Mm-hmm. But you know, Killzone Shadowfall, that was not a previous gen, you know, whatever game that was not held back because it needed to come on PS3 also.
Or good old Knack. Don't forget about Knack.
Don't forget Knack heads.
Knack baby.
Right. So. Abandoning? No, but that's but because Sony does swan songs.
Well, I think what's happening here is I think this could be this is a theory of mine. I think it's there's not enough confidence in brand loyalty with Microsoft. Sony knows, Nintendo knows when they launch a new device, new piece of hardware, they're going to get their fans to buy it because they're going to support the hell out of it.
That wasn't the case for PS3 and Vita.
Oh yeah, the poor little Vita. But that was definitely a software problem.
Or the Wii U.
It's true.
So,
well, the Wii U
always
the
in
Wii
the
Wii U, I think, was a marketing flub because it just felt like it was a upgrade to the Wii, which
they should have not had that name.
Which, you know, the Series X feels like it's a late generation upgrade. It's mm-hmm. like Xbox One, One X, Series X. It's all in the same family of hardware. That's what it feels like to me.
Right.
But this also gets a little bit stranger because Phil also spoke on exclusive games and how we shouldn't be excluding folks from being able to play certain games. Now, here's a few more choice quotes from this interview. Gaming is bigger than any one device. That is something in the industry that you've embraced as you bring more players in. Our device is not center to our strategy. Our game is not center to the strategy. So when I read this, when he talks about ecosystems and having folks not being left out or excluded, why are you still in the hardware game, I feel? Why not go the Sega route? Why not just publish games and put them out on all platforms? Because this feels like he's talking about exclusive games being a bad thing, how it leaves out certain people from the experience.
Does he mean generational specific exclusives?
But in any case, it's still the same. It's the same difference.
I don't agree with that. I think that generational, like that, there's a reason why we all want backwards compatibility, right?
Well, that's different. That's to make sure I can bring all my shit with me.
It's the next, right? But it's two sides of the same coin. It's like, hey, you know, Madden's going to come out for PS4 and PS5, no matter what. It's coming out. Sure. It's going to be here. It's going to be a thing. Mm-hmm. We don't want, but MLB The Show. Well, think about it. Sony did do that with MLB The Show. Mm-hmm. It is going everywhere now. Why? For the reasons Phil Spencer is saying, mm-hmm. because that is one of those titles that you do want everywhere. You do want to cast a wider net.
Sure.
I think it does go. It does definitely go title by title. But you can't. I guess the thing that bothers me about what Phil is saying is that he's basically saying the way that video games have been made mm-hmm. for 35 years mm-hmm. is not right.
Right.
It's not the way it should be done.
Sure.
Yet it's the proven method.
Right.
it's always worked.
The way that works that we failed out is not how it's supposed to go. This new way, right. Our way, is the way to go.
Right. Now, don't get me wrong. Game Pass is awesome. I love Game Pass. I think it's a great idea. I think it's a great supplement to
great value.
The roster. It's a way to flesh out your roster of games. Absolutely, 100%. But you cannot lose sight of the fact, as a fanboy of whatever system, whatever ecosystem, whatever brand loyalty you have, you cannot forget that Game Pass came out of the Xbox's ridiculously on fire, flaming failure of this generation.
Yeah,
that is why this thing came around. It's because they failed spectacularly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they made up for it with a Game Pass, and now people are seeing the value in that.
Right? Do we think that if they sold as many or more Xbox Ones as PS4s did, we'd have a Game Pass today? I really don't think
There's no chance in hell they would have.
That wouldn't exist.
There's no chance in hell. The only way that they might is if this next generation coming up still had a multi-tier approach. Like if that was still, because those, they don't make those decisions overnight. That's something they've been talking about at least for 6 years.
Right.
Like just based on how business plans are rolled out and like how that kind of stuff happens. If that was their plan all along, then probably not.
Dude, I don't understand how, from a consumer perspective, how you don't want to incentivize folks to buy your new flashy machine. You need to have something to push it, to sell it. And I really feel like
you keep stumbling on that. You keep getting hung up on that.
But that's what it is, though.
But it's not, because you're forgetting. You're forgetting that these games are available on a PC that costs $1,000 or more to run. What's incentivizing people to buy your machine is that they're going to run just as good as a high-end PC, and the console is going to be less than $600.
I can get the same exact games on the machine I already own without buying a new machine. Where's the incentive to buy the new machine?
Who they're trying to cater to are the people who did not. There are 50 million people that are playing Xbox and 110, 125 million people playing PlayStation. They're trying to chip into that.
They're not going to do that, though.
That's the point of this. The point of this is to say,
I use Xbox One.
But even if they buy the used Xbox One, they're still buying into the ecosystem. They're still getting Live. They're still getting Game Pass. They're still, buying those games. They're still going to stick. And then when they say, hey, I saved $500. Well, I already have Game Pass. I already have a library of 728 games. I might as well buy the Series X now that I've saved $500.
Why is it might as well if I can play the same games on my Xbox One X?
Because it's an upgrade. The incentive is, if I own a Spider-Man incentive,
give me a Ratchet and Clank incentive. I want to see that.
The incentive is still there. If you have a PlayStation 4 and your PlayStation 4 is slow, the PS4 quality marker for the games that come out on PS5 is slowly going backwards. You're going to upgrade to within your means. They're giving consumer option for something that they never had before. It was one or the other. It was this or that or nothing. Those were their options. What Microsoft is saying is there are people that can afford $300. There are people that can afford $600. And then, of course, there are people that could afford $1,200.
Sure.
We are going to cater to you all. And the reason we're doing that is because it's more important for us to be there as your option for when you do. Like, if you're a 16-year-old kid, your parents are getting you the $300 console. Well, now you're a 19-year-old kid. You're in college. You saved all your money. You can now upgrade to a Series X, still get the same experience that all your friends were having or whatever. But now it runs better. It looks better. It plays better. Like, everything is better about it. It's truly a next gen experience. And that's why they're doing this for 18 months, because they got to give people, especially the ones that invested in the Series X or the One X rather, they have to give them some sort of like pat on the back saying, no, we're going to be with you. We're going to stick with you on this one. But in a year and a half to 2 years, like, you're going to start having to think about moving over, but we're giving you a couple of years to save to do it.
Listen, that's all fine and dandy. If you want to say it'll take 2 years for those sales to kick off, that's fine. I'm saying, when you launch the thing, why are you buying it on the first day? Day one.
It's the same reason, like the chat is saying, it's the same reason why people buy the iPhone, the next iPhone. They line up all day for the next iPhone year after year after year, because it runs things better, it does things slightly better, and they want the new shiny thing. And those are $2,000 phones. We're not even talking about that. Like, we're talking about a $500 console. So I think just by having the option on the table for these people gives them the incentive in itself. Mm-hmm. It's saying, you have this option. It's there. It's the new shiny thing. You can do it, but you don't have to. But when you're ready, it's there. Go do it. And then the other people that are hardcore nut jobs, they're going to say, I need the new fucking shiny thing. And they're going to line up on day one. They're going to get the new fucking shiny thing. Like, it's as simple as that. Now, I think Sony does better at incentivizing buying the new thing, but they don't do as good as keeping the people the 130 million people that are already invested in their ecosystem. They don't do a good job of protecting those people.
How so?
Because they're not going to offer the next gen titles for that. They're basically, what they do is they say, here's the swan song. Here's mm-hmm. the last couple of games you're going to get for the thing. And then you're going to get the inferior sports games and Call of Duties and Assassin's Creed.
Well, that's your third party. That's nothing to do with them.
Right. That's what's going to hold you guys over on the PS4 land. Mm-hmm. But any new game we make mm-hmm. is going to be VR or on PS5. So, like, it incentivizes, but the people who can't afford the incentive,
isn't that the point of next gen though?
Typically,
don't you want to see why I want to buy this hardware?
What's going to
excite you about it the most?
Conversion rate is not going to be as high if you don't offer these. When you only, like, for example, PS4 launched with like four new games, right? Everything mm-hmm. else was, old cross gen
and
stuff.
Also without backwards compatibility. And look how well that sold.
Nah, not at launch. At launch, it wasn't.
Well, excuse me. No.
At launch, it wasn't the fire sale you think it was.
Yes, it was exactly the fire sale I think it
no,
was.
No, you do not think it was. No.
Those numbers were insane at launch. I think you're
mistaken.
Your research. They had crazy launch numbers, the PS4, because A, they were the cheaper model of the two, of the Xbox One.
Well, when you're comparing it, when you're comparing it to Xbox One, yes, it was far and beyond better.
Fastest selling game console when it launched.
PS3 also. PS3 and Xbox 360 also both did not do well out of the gate.
Yeah.
Those are two other ones that didn't do well out of the gate.
You know, they cost $1 jillion back then.
Well, it was
$600 for a fucking...
The 360 was...
grill.
$499? $400, right? I don't remember. But yeah, it's a situation of you have to have a fine balance, because are you going to get people that are going to be upgrading from PS4 to PS5 on day one, regardless of if you have any games for it? Yes, of course you are. Mm-hmm. Of course you are.
Yeah.
The incentive there without backwards compatibility kind of is diminished if you don't have the ability to play to buy games on your PS4 up until November whatever, when November 18th when the new system comes out. That's decentivizing you from doing that, especially when the games are going to be more expensive now, because now the games are going to be $10 more expensive, which we've all but confirmed at this point. That's they're going to run into muddy waters there. But PlayStation in general,
everyone, not just them. It's
a them problem, because they are one of the three console manufacturers. So it's going to be a them problem, especially if they're the ones that are going to want to win the generation, which we already know Microsoft doesn't want to win, because they change what win means. So they don't care about winning or losing. They change the metric.
Right.
They move the goalposts. They don't care what that is. So to us traditionalists that look at who's selling the most hardware,
See, I think that's what it boils down to. I think with all of Phil's statements, the focus is not on selling the box anymore. That's what it all boils down to for me. The focus isn't on selling the piece of hardware. And you can see it in his words. It's very clear. That's not the focus. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not what they're most focused on right now.
Farmer Pete says in the chat here, the Series X sounds nice and cheap compared to all the shiny new PC parts that I want to get. And that's the point, I think, that they're trying to nail home with that. And it was $400, the 360 at launch, as opposed to PlayStation $600. Six and five if you didn't want backwards compatibility and a larger hard drive. But I digress.
All right. I think we...
Devolver.
Good stuff. That was a lot of good stuff from one news bit.
Devolver did a thing.
Devolver's great.
So Devolver did their Devolver Direct 2020, which was hilarious. What do we got here? We started off with... what the hell was it? Shadow Warrior 3.
Oh, yeah, baby.
They showed that. That's coming in 2021. I love
that franchise so much.
I've never played it.
Oh, you should.
I've never played Shadow Warrior.
You should. The over-the-top like Asian accent delivery and the one-liners are just hilarious.
We also got... that's when we got the release date for Fall Guys, Ultimate Knockout, mm-hmm. which was introduced by Shuhei Yoshida.
Right, because it's coming on PS4.
Yeah, but that's just... Okay, Devolver, relax.
hey, we had Phil at the fucking Ubisoft Forward thing talking about...
And then Phil was here. And then Phil came here to talk about Carrion coming to Game Pass, which was nice. And then they revealed the... oh, no, that was at the end. They had Serious Sam 4.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
And then they revealed Devolver Digital... unveiled its own dystopian first-person marketing simulator for free. The indie publisher's zany combination of dark comedy and thrilling gameplay trailers made 2020's Direct a resounding success. Yeah, so you can go on Steam right now and play Devolver's E3 booth. Which was interesting.
Hey, man.
Again, they're hilarious. They're fun. I was expecting more games. I was expecting more stuff like that, but whatever, it was what it was.
I feel like they know how much of a joke they are in this space. It's hard to keep being a parody of yourself every single year, because now, like, When they first came out the gate with their first E3 presentation, it was only they were in on the joke.
Right.
But now we're all in on the joke. So how do you, it's a bit hard to impress year after year, but you know, they find a way. It's still hilarious, but it's not.
Did you watch Limited Run Games?
No, I didn't see
presentation?
That.
That was hilarious.
Oh,
they did. Okay. The two guys did it in front of a green screen, obviously, but they put them on an E3 stage with like PS2 level graphics of like crowd people. And like we're pumping in crowd noise and stuff. It was really, really stupid and silly.
Before we go forward about Ubisoft's event, dude, I did not miss like cringy, awkward hosts trying to be funny at E3.
Hi. I'm here to tell you about Rainbow Six.
You have like some, you know, B or C tier celebrity giving a presentation. It's like,
hey guys, right. We're going to introduce to you Carrot Top. Yeah, we'll tell you all about our new game, Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout. The internet's number one prop comedy comedian.
All we got Mark Paul Gosselaar talking about the new Far Cry. Get away, Zach Morris.
All right. Go ahead. Hit us up with this next story.
This is upsetting. This was God, why? So, Deadly Premonition 2, A Blessing in Disguise. Uh-huh. It's the most ironic name for this game because it is a curse and not a blessing.
Sounds like it. Sounds like it.
So, the frame rate is an absolute nightmare. These games aren't about like high graphic output and like cutting edge anything. Uh-huh. They're pretty low key. They're just below a AA game, I feel. They're not quite indie, but they're not quite what a AA could be. It's got a decent sized budget. And the first game was so B movie, so schlock, so charming. It was an instant classic. Now this runs like dog shit. And I feel it's because it's on the Switch. And it wasn't optimized for the Switch. And the worst thing is, they're releasing it in this broken state.
Knowing what's happening.
They know that it runs like shit. And they're fine with that. They're discussing a potential patch at some point that's not guaranteed. So why am I going to buy this game if it runs like ass? Tell me. And why are you allowing this to come out?
I have a question.
Sure, go ahead.
Does Deadly Premonition 2 need to be coming out on Switch right now?
No.
Is there a reason why this game can't come out in October?
Listen, I'm not even sure why it's even on the Switch. This is not like it's a Nintendo franchise. This is just
doesn't make any sense,
trying
man.
To get like... I get it. Like, Nintendo wants to have some extra oomph, some third-party support on its system. I get it.
Nothing makes any sense,
and they should pursue that. But have the thing work properly and run well enough. It's. I've seen videos. It looks almost unplayable.
At all. Can we have at all?
It's like two frames.
Can we have it run at all? That would be acceptable. All right.
Oh my god!
This is an interesting little story here that I thought would change the pace here on the show. So, game companies are lining up for the pandemic relief loans. This is coming from GamesIndustry.biz. Developers take advantage of a U.S. program that will forgive loans for retaining staff. The deadline to apply is August 8th. They had done this before for the small businesses. So I guess this is for. It's a paycheck protection program, so it's still the PPP. So let's read this a little bit of this. While some corners of the games industry have seen their businesses improve with the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, others aren't so fortunate. As part of its COVID-19 response, the United States launched the Paycheck Protection Program, the PPP, to incentivize, right? Is that what that's supposed to say? Yeah. Employers to keep staff on payroll, and a Games Industry Biz review of publicly released data from the program identified more than 75 game companies who have combined for a minimum of $30 million in loans. Under the terms of the program, the loans carry an interest rate of 1% and can be forgiven if the borrowing business spends at least 60% of the money on payroll. There are no fees or collateral required. It should be 100% because it's called the Paycheck Protection Program. I digress. That was me. I interjected there. There's still time for developers to take advantage of the program, as the deadline to apply it for the PPP is August 8th. So as of June 30th, nearly 4.9 million PPP loans have been approved for a total of more than $521 billion loaned. Loans of $150,000 or less make up 86.5% of the loans approved and 27.2% of the money loaned. 86% of the loans approved, but only 27% of the money given out.
Oh, that sounds very shady.
Wow.
What's going on
That's
there?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
What the fuck's going on there?
So here are some of the ones they identified. Turtle Rock Studios got a loan between $2 million and $5 million. The following are $1 million to $2 million. Blind Squirrel Entertainment, Boss Fight Entertainment, Firewalk Studios.
Oh, I know Boss Fight. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, we know Boss Fight. Halen Entertainment, Intrepid Studios. Intrepid Studios. Iron Galaxy Studios, Just Games Interactive Entertainment. Manticore Games. We know Manticore as well. Mm-hmm. Shell Games, Smart Bomb Interactive, Super League Gaming, Tripwire Interactive. We also know Tripwire. And then there's $350,000 to $1 million. Allied Esports, Atrix, Cauldron, Counterplay. I'm going to look to see if there's any like Limited Run Games was in there.
If any of our former guests are on this list.
Twisted Pixel, Supergiant.
Oh, okay, that's good.
And then 150,000 to 350,000. Let's see if this ones that jump out to me here. Intellivision Entertainment, didn't know they were still around, but okay. Revolving Games, I think I've heard of them. Games for Change, mm-hmm. got a loan. Esports Arena, Esports One. But yeah, so a lot of games studios, and you know what? That kind of makes sense because, hopefully they do a little like a follow up on this, but it seems like the perfect places to get loans like this are the ones that either finished the game recently and are starting a new one, but now have to work remotely. So they say, hey, we're going to hold off on starting our new project right now. Let's mm-hmm. use the PPP loan to keep everyone employed so we don't have to furlough or let anybody go. And then once this thing settles down, we'll bring everybody back on board. We'll start our new project, whatever. Like I could see that working for studios like that. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I think it's really nice that we're allowed to give them to these industries. It's like, cause you think, you know, essential companies, you don't think those who make video games, I think now in what's going on around the world, us need games more than ever. So them having some extra money to keep their staff and keep their games going and in development.
Right.
That makes me very happy.
Yeah, this is all there has to be some cost variance here, like cost benefit analysis where you say, hey, it's cheaper if we give these loans that will be paid back or forgiven than it would be to have all of these people shit can everybody.
Right, as long as you're using
and
that
collect
money
unemployment.
To pay for your employees to keep them on the payroll, then right. I think loans are forgiven.
Like, I know somebody who has one of these loans. They have 9 employees. Hmm. And if they dip under 9 employees for the certain amount of time, I think it was 4 months, they have to pay back the loan at the interest. Hmm. If they keep everybody employed, keep paying them, keep everything on, and the loan was... I think they said it was just below what it would actually cost to keep all 9 people. It was like, I think the bosses wound up not taking their normal weekly salary. Like they own obviously like equity in it, whatever. And then they take a minimal salary for tax purposes and like stuff like that. And, you know, to have like an actual weekly or biweekly paycheck to, you know, whatever. And they forfeit that so they can make up the difference. But yeah, it's interesting.
That's how it should work. The owner at the end should get paid, you would think.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I agree and disagree. Like if you and I had employees, right? And we were dependent wholly on you know, Patreon, and half our Patreon left, and because of COVID, they can't afford it. And we got this loan, like, we still have bills to pay, you know?
Right. But then again, you know, we have staff, people that you're employed by you, they're trading a fixed wage for that security.
Right. Us at
corner, we take all the risk in the business. So
right.
We should get paid at the end. That's at least how I view that's it's capitalism, you know, how it should be running in a sense, but not always.
Right. Right, right, right.
All right.
All right, Andy.
This last bit is, I like this, but it also highlights what I don't like about journalism, because we have like, there's conflicting sentiments, just words apart from each other, it seems like.
Okay.
This comes from videogameschronicle.com. Next gen game upgrades should be free, Xbox tells developers. Sounds like a nice sentiment. But then further down, it says Xbox has told developers. So you've gone from should to now it's an order, a suggestion to you must do this. That they cannot charge players to upgrade their current gen games to Xbox Series X. And then further down, it says have been encouraged to offer both current. So which one is it? Were they told or were they just suggested? I don't get this. In any case, it seems like Xbox is not too keen on developers charging an upgrade fee, like a DLC, like a $5, $10 DLC to upgrade your current gen game to next gen. Love it. And I feel when you look at Cyberpunk, Assassin's Creed, Dirt 5, Marvel's Avengers.
Dirt 5, the muddening.
Marvel's Avengers. And today, recently, Watch Dogs Legion is on the whole smart delivery system and also for PS4 and PS5. You're going to see like most folks in the industry are going to naturally to avoid any kind of backlash are going to instinctively offer their current gen, their next gen upgrade for free. Unless you're a scumbag like EA.
Well, yeah.
And
this is the equivalent of I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Right.
This is the Don coming in and saying, listen, I want all my games to come to both consoles. You understand what I'm saying? Because if you don't do it, I'm going to make life very miserable for you. You're not going to like what happens to your company.
Now, does Phil Spencer put a Don Matrix head in your bed if you don't comply?
That's exactly what happens. That's exactly what happens. But yeah, like last week we spoke about the whole 2K thing, the $900 or the $900, the $99, the $99/$100 collector's edition giving you the upgrade. But
yeah. Or again, EA's whole like, it's a free upgrade for asterisk until like 3 months out, then you're paying for the upgrade. So listen, I'm pretty sure someone's going to try to get around this. Listen, I don't see how they can actually mandate this as an order like to companies. Hey, you cannot offer an upgrade fee.
Hey, you want to put your game on our console? You can't offer an upgrade fee.
Then they can say, okay, cool. Saying, okay, we're not going to put a game on your console then. We'll just put it on everything.
They're not going to do that. The people who are in power here, the position of power, the negotiating power right now is Xbox.
I think it's Xbox and PlayStation.
They have the negotiation power.
I think it's more the mob. Because look at EA. They turn that shit around right quick. The second there was like even a whiff of disapproval from the mob, from the Twitter mob, that's all it took. And I think most companies, to avoid that sea of bullshit, are going to be, you know what? Not worth the headache. If it's on the one system, if it's on the old stuff, on the current stuff, and the new stuff, it's free. Just put the disc in, you do a little, you know, do some magic sorcery or do a code, whatever you got to do, and that's it. And that's how it should be across the board. And see, now, if someone tries to do otherwise, then they're the bad guy. And who wants that? No one wants that. No one wants that.
Exactly. Speaking of things nobody wants, it's time to get into the hype zone.
Oh, but I want this.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pikachu. I can say
right now, as a gay man, I sponsor this effort. This is how it should have been. Oh, folks, let me tell you right now, those in the chat, we were robbed of the Pikachu we deserved.
Pikachu.
So according to NintendoEverything.com, Game Freak was given a proposal to change Pikachu into something like a tiger with huge breasts for Pokemon's overseas debut. Spicy. This is what it's all about.
Here's the full quote from Ishihara. At the time, it was widely believed that American kids would never want to play games with a lot of text, so we thought Pokemon only had about a 10% chance of success outside of Japan. The first time we showed off some Pokemon in the U.S., we were told they were, quote, too cute. The staff in America submitted their ideas for replacement designs, but we just couldn't believe the kind of stuff they were proposing. They turned Pikachu into something like a tiger with huge breasts. It looked like a character from the musical Cats. When I asked, how is this supposed to be Pikachu? They said, well, look, there's its tail right there. Seriously, that was the kind of stuff they were producing.
This is a huge letdown. This is... Can we get the document of this? I want to see what it looks like. Please tell me someone drew it to show it to me. I want to see what it looks like.
I wonder what they made Voltorb look like.
So I also want to...
Can we make it look more like a testicle?
Just two low-hanging balls.
Right.
I love how the sentiment is like, Americans don't want to read.
No, Americans just want good games, dude.
They want big titties. Who thought of this? How was it wildly believed that American kids don't want to read in their games?
Were we in the 20s in education yet?
I don't know.
20s and 30s? Something like that.
What other games were around this time that had reading in it and not tits?
Or both.
First of all, like, no games had tits at this juncture.
Well,
did we have
Tifa? Tifa was well endowed. Lara Croft was well endowed.
This sounds like it's Pokemon for the first time here, though. This is like Pokemon Red and Blue days, I imagine. So did we have Tifa in her titties back then at this time? I don't think so.
Oh man. Mikey Kirsch put a knowyourmeme.com photo of the American Pikachu, aka Titty Chew.
I want to ask who's our... You know what? Let's do a contest right now in the chat. Show off your artistic skills. Draw us your version of Tiger Chew with big titties. And the best one... We'll buy you a game of your choice. How about that?
Whoa.
I see about 8 people in the chat right now. Get the drawing, people. Get the drawing. You have 1 week.
A game of your choice, which we have Ghost of Tsushima coming out, guys.
Game of your choice. We will buy you a game of your choice. Buy a game of your choice.
Wow.
Now, nothing funky. Like, I want the fucking, you know, I want the collector edition with the silver balls on it that costs $500. It's a simple, we'll do a $60 ceiling. That's where we'll cap out. 60 All right. bucks.
That next gen shit.
No.
We had nothing in the Discord mailbag, but this is the point where we're going to kick it over to our chat, our live chat. If you have any questions or you want to submit any news stories, please do so right now while I am going over the rigmarole. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Dual Screens Gamescast. That is Andy, and I am Steve. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to follow us on social media, we are at NDS Podcast. I am at BatChild27, and Andy is at PantsGuy. And our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/DS Podcasts. And if you want to follow my shenanigans on Twitch, I am at twitch.tv/BatChild. I stream at least 4 days a week. We have a lot of fun. We give away games all the time. It's a blast. And if you want to follow us on YouTube, we are subscribe to us, please. We're almost at 200 subs. It's youtube.com/DualScreensTV. DualScreensTV. Special thanks to Zazu Pitt of Sour Note Productions for our theme song. Thank you, Matt Murray, for our overlay, our Dual Screens overlay, and our logo. Andrew Douglas for our cartoon art that we post everywhere, all over the place. And again, if you want to join our Patreon, it's patreon.com/NDS Podcast. That's patreon.com/NDS Podcast. You get bonus episodes. You get access to our VIP Discord channel where you can hang out with us all day and just chat about video games all day for as little as $1, folks.
Mm-hmm.
And a thanks again to our two Patreon producers who are supporting us at the $50 tier. That's Colton the Apprentice Nestler and FNH Paul. We cannot continue to grow without all of your support, so thank you so very much for doing that. Kick it over to chat. I don't see any submissions or any questions, which I guess is a good sign.
I think we just paid for Mikey Kirsch's copy of Ghost of Tsushima. That's what it sounds like to me.
That's going to be a problem.
I think that's what just happened.
It's going to be a problem. But listen, people are going to listen to this. They're going to listen to the
audio.
Yeah,
so all folks that are listening, when this goes up on the Podbean Monday, you're also invited to join this contest as well. So give us your best rendition of Tiger Chew with huge tatas. The biggest, juiciest. The more obscene you make this thing, the higher chance you have of winning.
Hold on a second. Now, Aaron Gard just said, did you guys talk about the leak of Edinburgh SKU SKU? I don't know what that is.
Oh, let's look do a quick Google search of that.
I don't know what that is. Edinburgh SQ leak.
I'm getting gin. I'm getting shoes.
Yeah, I'm getting all sorts of stuff.
This is some Wayfair shit.
Is that what we're getting again? This stuff now? I don't have anything. Okay. Okay. So Xbox OS has three new potential systems. Those were the SKUs.
The Xbox Edinburgh. I see that. That was a week ago. Interesting, though, still.
Yeah,
we said error. A third SKU. What the fuck are you doing, Microsoft?
What can it be?
What is this?
What can it be?
Don't give us too many options. Limit yourself.
Now, here's the thing. Former Pete is saying, after seeing how good Kirsch can draw in our Discord, I don't stand a chance. Here's the thing.
Former Pete, that's very wrong.
It's got to be out. It's got to move us.
You get style points for being more outrageous.
Creativity.
Right.
Making us laugh.
Dude, if you did like a Sonic Chew kind of thing and it looked hideous, but it warmed our hearts, you will definitely win. So listen, this isn't about raw.
Mikey Kirsch has
talent.
A question.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead, Mikey Kirsch.
Are we drawing Titty Chew or are we drawing you guys as Titty Chew? Again, artistic expression.
Yeah.
Artistic expression.
Yeah.
Artistic expression. All right. But it could be hideous.
From repeat, the high odds of being hideous is not, it works in your favor. If it makes us chuckle the hardest, then you will definitely win. That's all.
Speaking
matters.
Of chuckling the hardest, we hope you had a good time tonight. We hope you had some laughs. Shared some tears. Remember, folks, we record this live every Sunday night on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. And the video will post on Tuesday on youtube.com/dualscreenstv. And the audio post every Monday on your podcast service of choice. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, chat. Andy, is there anything you want to tell the kids before we go?
Just as big titties as possible. Just as large as you can get them.
Massive memory glands.
Obscene. Obscene.
Natural, or do we want genetically enhanced breasts?
Listen. This is also has to be a Pokemon. It's got to fight.
Right. This can't just be some furry.
If it has some like booby slapping ability, like that's why they're so
double
huge.
Double slap gives double slap.
If
a
the
whole
Gazongas movie. Are big for like, it's got to do a double slap action.
I like it.
Hey, here this. Give us draw the thing and give us one signature move that it has.
Ooh, now we're getting
real
creative.
Mm-hmm. So an extra chance for you to be as creative as possible. Okay?
This one's called the Motorboat. It's very effective. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, chat. Thank you, listeners. This has been the Dual Screens Gamescast. Thank you so much. And as always, please be excellent to each other.